Rhode Island's gaming industry is keeping a sharp eye on what's happening in Massachusetts as the state's Gambling Commission works out where to license up to three resort-style casinos and a slot parlor. Rhode Island pulls in enough money from Twin River and Newport Grand to make gaming the third largest source of revenue for the state, and casinos in Massachusetts threaten that revenue. So how close is Massachusetts to having casino gambling? Well, we caught up with reporter Mark Arsenault at his desk at the Boston Globe to find out. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So Massachusetts is looking to open up to three resort-style casinos, each one in a different part of the state, and a slot parlor. Now, where does it look like these facilities are likely to end up?
Well, right now, they're about to award the slot parlor license. That'll be the first license to be awarded. It'll probably happen in the next month or so. There are three sites that are in contention. The closest one to Rhode Island would be Plainridge Racecourse in Plainville. Next to that, in Raynham, we have Raynham Park for a slot parlor proposal at the former dog track in Raynham. And then sort of on the other side of the state, Central Mass, a proposal in Leominster. One of those three is going to win the license.
And for the resort-style casinos?
The Massachusetts state gambling law divides the state into three regions for one resort-style casino in each region. It's essentially western Massachusetts, the Berkshires, greater Boston, and Worcester County, and southeastern Massachusetts, which includes the Cape Cod area and the South Shore. The western license is going to be awarded probably in May. The one contender still standing after local elections have eliminated a couple other contestants is MGM Resorts, big Las Vegas company. They have a $800 million casino proposal for downtown Springfield. Closer to Boston, there are two facilities left standing competing for the Greater Boston license. One would be Wynn Resorts, also a well-known name. He has a proposal for a $1.6 billion casino hotel in Everett, probably only 3 or 4 miles away as the gull flies. Mohegan Sun is planned, I think, about a $1.2 or $3 billion casino, hotel, entertainment facility on on land just north of the racetrack, which would be entirely in Revere.
What kind of timeline do you think we're talking about until these casinos actually open their doors?
All three of those slot applicants are talking about the possibility of opening a temporary facility on the site where they want to build while the more permanent facility is being built. Any of the three could get up before the end of the year with at least some slot machines, several hundred slot machines. The resort casinos, if that license is awarded in May, and presuming it is, not much has really happened on time in this process in the last couple of years. But if it happens by the end of May, that will probably be 2 years.
And you mentioned, Mark, that this process has been dragging out a bit. In your opinion, does that help Twin River at all to develop some visitor loyalty for their new table games? And might that mitigate the impact of this new competition?
It's possible. I mean, Twin River is very aggressive. They're known as very aggressive marketers. And I don't think most people realize how huge Twin River is in terms of number of slots. It's one of the largest single facilities in the country. When it has about 4,800 slot machines, that's huge. That would be more than Wynn or the Suffolk Downs Mohegan Sun property would intend to have for the sheer number of slots. However, gamblers will tell you and people in the industry will tell you that proximity is very important, and people generally will not drive further unless what they're driving to is better. So that is something that Rhode Island will have to keep in mind, that they will probably be able to develop some customer loyalty, but if something opens up closer to home, you can bet that most people will go to that facility.
Mark Arsenault is a former Providence Journal reporter. Which do you see hurting Rhode Island's industry the most?
We'll have a decision on that slot parlor in maybe a month. And if it went to Leominster, then I think Rhode Island would celebrate, right?
Mm.
And if it went to Plainridge, that is direct competition. That's right on Route 1 and 495. Absolutely direct competition for Twin River. That place in Plainridge would be perfectly set up to intercept people coming down 495 to 95.
Is that part of the Gaming Commission's thought process as they're looking at this? I mean, what's going to position them best to draw people away from other casinos that already exist?
Yes. They call it recapturing. Recapturing money going out of state. That is definitely a huge part of the evaluation criteria. Who's in the best position to recapture? And Plain Ridge is in great shape to recapture money for people going from Massachusetts to Twin River.
And are there concerns, Mark Arsenault, that with Rhode Island and Connecticut's established casinos, that gambling dollars will end up spread too thinly across New England and, you know, dilute the economic impact for everyone?
Yeah, if you go back and look at a map of the Northeast, from pretty much from New Jersey up, from just 20 years ago, if you plotted where you could gamble, there wouldn't be very many dots on that map. Now that map is completely riddled. So at some point, there is an end to this. The pie can only grow so big. New casinos generally grow the pie a little bit around them, but as Atlantic City can prove, the pie is not infinite. They've been absolutely ravaged by competition, and eventually there will be no new markets to conquer, and then we'll have to see where the market lies. I mean, look at how aggressively Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun have tried to get into the Massachusetts market. They obviously realize that a great percentage of their customers are going to end up staying home if they don't get into the game. If you're going to lose money to competition, you might as well lose money to yourself.
You mentioned that Foxwoods was interested in Milford. That got knocked down. Now they may be looking into other areas. There was a Foxborough location for a casino that was talked about a lot at one point. That also got knocked down. What has surprised you the most, Mark Arsenault, about the process of locating these casinos?
Well, the legislation was designed so that no town, city or town, who didn't want a casino would have one really forced on them. So what we've found is that the suburbs have been absolutely the graveyard of casino developers' dreams. What we're seeing is casinos are ending up in places where the jobs message, the fact that they can bring thousands of jobs, or create thousands of jobs, where that message resonates, casinos have done pretty well building local support. Downtown Springfield, for example.
What impact do you see that having on whether people will actually travel to go to these facilities?
That's going to be the big question. Can MGM pull this off in downtown Springfield? If you're a family and you live in Brattleboro, Vermont, are you going to come down to downtown Springfield and spend the weekend? The risk they take entering the market in the middle of an urban area. But they're willing to spend $800 million to try to prove the point that they can make a go of it there.
Well, Mark Arsenault reports for the Boston Globe covering casino gambling for the paper. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome anytime.